Now, all of you listening will know the voice and the name, Shiloh Noon, a radio legend here at Cape Talk. Today, he's going to be doing something before his show on Cape Talk a little bit differently, and that's talking about his encounters with rock icons like Led Zeppelin, NXS, and Sting. He's going to be in conversation with fellow author Stefan Schutte, and they're holding a live conversation at Cycling Friends in Greenpoint at 2 o'clock. I'm delighted to welcome both men to the studio this morning to let us in on a little bit of what we can look forward to later today. Good morning. Thanks both for joining me.
Hi, Amy. Good morning.
That's morning, Stefan. Amy, and to listeners.
It must be a little unusual for you, Shiloh, to be sitting on the other side of the microphone for a change.
Somewhat disturbing, but very refreshing.
Stefan, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about The Written Riff, which is today's conversation that's going to be taking place in Greenpoint. What is it? What is this event today?
Thank you, Amy. The Written Riff is... we had our debut in Musenberg at the Commons in January, which was a fantastic event. We had a wonderful turnout. And Shiloh and I thought, we just had to do it again. So we're doing it today, as you said, at Cycling Friends. And the Written Riff really came about after Shiloh and I met about a year ago. And we were introduced by a mutual friend who happened to be a fellow West Coast Writer Circle member and also a Magic Bus listener. And he just said to me, our friend's name is Don, he said to me, listen, you've got to get a copy of your book to Shiloh, which I did. And we just really hit it off and realized we shared a love for rock music in particular. And with both having written books so deeply rooted in music, and we decided to put a little roadshow together where Shiloh recounted some of these fascinating stories and interactions he's had with these rock legends over the years. So we like to look at it, we say we're just trying to broaden the rock and roll footprint, really.
I love that. Shiloh, on the WhatsApp line, there's a message saying, say hi to Shiloh from Nikki and Louise. I'm assuming that you would know who that is.
Indeed, they are regular Magic Bus listeners. It's great they're up that early.
Listening to Cape Talk around the clock. Love it. Shiloh, your book that you wrote about rock history covers the eras from 1950s to 1979. Why did you focus on that sort of time period?
Well, really, that was the period of music that I was very passionate about. There was also the great 80s, which was a completely different, they called it new wave. Mm. And I just, I was overseas the majority of the 80s. So my peak period was working in record shops in the 70s. So we didn't have Google, Wikipedia or anything like that when I wrote the book. And it was really sleeve notes from LPs. And then, of course, the only thing I had to do was actually fly across. The book has had 16 amendments, and it's largely because I've had to update on new information and so forth. So it was I decided to keep it from 1950, which is kind of the birth of rock and roll, surf guitar, going right through to what they often call the end of progressive rock, which is 1979, with the birth of punk and the new sound. So it was just that genre I was very knowledgeable on, so I decided to keep it where the knowledge was.
Sure, it seems like the internet's been around forever, but it really hasn't. And talking about writing a book before the invention of the internet must have been a completely different experience and a much more difficult experience.
Very difficult. As I said, no Wikipedia, no Google. In the 70s you had Melody Maker, New Musical Express magazines, and that's all we got to know. Our television only kicked in about late 70s,
yeah.
And we didn't really get the gist of what was happening in the UK. The added advantage of South Africa was we had a lot of British people that had come to South Africa, and they brought along their LPs,
yeah.
And many of us were influenced by our friends that had come from, say, the UK, and that was a big influence on, I would say, a lot of South Africans.
Stefan, let's turn to you because you're also an author. Tell us a little bit about your book. It's a fictional novel, which is a bit different from what Shiloh's done.
Yes, it is indeed, Amy. And while listening to Shiloh, one of the things that came through very strongly for me when I wrote the book, I wasn't around in the 50s and 60s and 70s. I was born exactly in 1979 when his book, the era that he covers, ended. And Yes, there's a character in my book that actually went through a similar experience with no internet around, you know, listening to songs and interpreting songs and thinking about it and realizing that, you know, sometimes you mishear the lyrics, and that could lead to issues, because, I mean, your entire perception of a song could have been wrong your whole life once you actually managed to read the proper lyrics, which are, by the way, not always 100% correct when you Google it. You know, you'll hear the artists complain about that a lot as well. My book is a fictional novel. It's The Last Jukebox Heroes, even though it is rooted in some real-life events or inspired by some of it. It features 100 or so songs that have moved me in some way, and I wanted to weave that into a story that would hopefully entertain readers. So the book is about a bar lady named Julie, who struggles to keep her business afloat. She has an inescapable deadline coming up about 6 months before that. Her life collides with a wealthy businessman who turns out to be a high-functioning alcoholic as well. So over time, we learn the storylines of another 5 characters and find out how their lives are interconnected. So it's really a story of how our choices and behavior influence those around us and the power the past has over the present.
Sure. It sounds like a great read. And I think the two of you have obviously got your entire fan base listening to the radio this morning, because Willem Heath says, good morning, please say hi to Stefan. So cool to hear him live. It's lovely to have all of you listening to these two gentlemen, and lovely having this conversation. And we will let you know, listeners, a little bit later about how you can potentially join this afternoon's event, because it does sound like there will be a lot of interest based on the messages coming into the WhatsApp line now. Shiloh, your book, Seeker's Guide to the Rhythm of Yesteryears, received many prestigious ratings, a 4-star rating from Rolling Stone and London Record Collector. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that means to you?
Well, the London Record Collector meant quite a bit to me, because they are extremely strict and they analytical and critical. And when a South African is writing about the Beatles and with some rather arrogant perceptions, you know, for example, stating that Sgt. Pepper's wasn't the first recording of that particular style of recording, and nominating other artists like Frank Zappa's Freak Out album in the same style of recording, you don't get a lot of accolade. But, you know, they gave me a 4-star. Rolling Stone was largely my connection, having worked with Rolling Stone and then with Miles Keelock, who was head of Rolling Stone in South Africa. So that was very special, because he actually read the book literally from page to page, which I don't think the guys in England did. But it meant a lot to me, but it all comes so late. Mm. You know, but the struggles and the trials and the tribulations of that book, that all came so late that it was, wow, okay, that's great. But I was, at that stage, I was happy I got it, but I wish it had come earlier.
Yeah, it does seem, because these days, you know, things are so instant. It almost seems like it's a lot easier to produce works like that and get the justified reviews than it would have been when you did it.
Yes, and obviously, you know, the book is factual. There's not really opinion. Mm. You've got to have facts, but you can have a perception or an opinion on this is the better album. Some people might say, no, we don't agree. A lot of my opinions were based on the so-called the albums that I suggested that were the better albums were given the thumbs up by the so-called aficionados of the rock world. So yeah. I felt I was at least I had some saving grace there. But there'll always be that one person who's a little bit more avant-garde, and they say no, I don't think so. And it's okay, because that's the beautiful thing about music. It's choice.
Yeah, subjective. Stefan, let's go back to you now. And I understand that you're an accountant, which is an interesting thing to pair with being an author, because it's not particularly thought of as a creative career.
Yeah, Amy, us accountants aren't really known for our personality or our creative side, especially in the workplace. So,
well, you're proving us wrong.
Well, yeah, but I think in all seriousness, I think the analytical side of your brain comes in quite handy when you're trying to put the different components of a complex novel together. It certainly helped me that I knew how to use a spreadsheet, because when you have a revolving plot told from 7 different perspectives, you might just end up with a 400-line timeline to try and keep track of your character's exact movements. and whereabouts. You know, you've got to put them in the right spaces and time continuously. And I also think, you know, I was told I would become a writer one day when I was about 10 years old. It was the first time, you know, if I think back. And that was long before I knew the difference between a debit and a credit. So, yeah, I just didn't believe it for a long time, you know, for about 25 years. It took me about 25 years to start putting in the serious work to get this job done, to get the first one out of the way.
Well, congratulations on having the discipline to do so.
Thank you.
Something I haven't gotten around to finding yet. Now, we want people, if you want the scoop, you've got to come and listen to the event this afternoon. We're not going to give it all away on the radio right now. But having said that, Shiloh, I believe you do have an interesting story about Brad Pitt that you can maybe share a little bit with us.
Yes, well, I haven't been able to share that legally because there was a legal agreement. But it all started many years ago when I was interviewed on the BBC. And by Shah Palay was Radio 3, and he said to me, we were talking about Nick Drake, and he said, that's really strange because Brad's coming in the following Sunday to do a live narrative with Gabriella Drake on the life of Nick Drake. And I said, wow, okay, well, give him my book. And I said, there's 8 pages on Nick Drake, and I signed it. And then I got this random call from Shah that I've got to meet Brad before. Below at Auntie Beeb, there's a pub, and he wanted to ask me questions. He was only 5 years old when Nick Drake was around.
Yeah.
And that's how our really strange relationship sort of developed. You know, we came to do shark diving in Amanus, and that's where I live, and a really strange...
Brad came shark diving?
Yes.
Wow.
And I don't believe he went. He went on the boat, but he... Yeah, I mean, yeah. A lot of people don't know this, and... there was a little thing written at the local fish and chip shop. Well, it was a little fish takeaway in Unrust. And on the board it said, Shiloh and Brad Pitt got stoned here, which is absolute exaggeration. But somebody wrote it, and that owner kept that on the board for almost 2 years, kept brightening it up with yellow and white chalk. But yeah, no, that was the start of something special. And numerous things happened, the sale of my Shiloh.com to the German attorneys in Namibia. And it was a process, but I wasn't allowed to share anything. And the strangest thing of all, he never actually told me, I never really asked him, where did you get into, because Nick Drake was, you know. And one day I was sitting on the toilet and there was a movie on the television, and it was a movie... with Jennifer Aniston in, and the background music was Nick Drake.
Oh,
and
wow.
I sort of worked. I put one and one together, and I got two, you know. So, yeah, that was really how it happened. It's not like I drink tea with these guys,
yeah,
you know, or have coffee or on their waiting list or anything like that. It was purely a random thing that happened. And and you're probably wondering, even the BBC was, I can tell you, it was literally provenance, because I was on a train overnight to my buddy, and I had my book in front of me. I was very proud, and the woman said to me, what's that book about? I said, I've just written about rock history. And she said, oh, you should be interviewed on the BBC. And I just killed myself at laughter. She said, don't laugh at me, I'm the program manager.
Oh my goodness.
And so, yeah, so I mean, I really felt I was in the hands and wind of destiny.
Shiloh, I feel like you're a treasure chest that needs to be unlocked.
No. Stephanie is the real writer. I'm a storyteller and I'm left of center. That's why we get on so well, because he is the real writer. I can't write like Stefan. I mean, I'm all over the place. I mean, this guy is the real McCoy. I just share stories that bring smiles and happiness.
Look, we'll get to the written riff and the event that it is in a few minutes, but I feel like it needs to be an entire roadshow, not just nationally, but internationally. Before we get to you, Stefan, with our next question, I just want to reflect a couple of the messages on the WhatsApp line, because they are flying in, and I know people will want me to read them out. Vanessa Ely says hi to Shiloh. The next one says, where is it? Good morning, Amy. Shiloh is a legend and his books are great. I try not to miss his show every Saturday. Please send my best wishes. Regards, Steve. Somebody else says, Shiloh and Stefan's books on display at the Musenberg launch of The Written Riff. There's a picture here saying, fabulous gathering of people interested in music and naturally the magic bus. Great to hear you again, Shiloh. See you on the Magic Bus later. That's from John. Ha ha, Shiloh, if you're getting this, my musical chum, Gordon's an accountant. I see it's record store day today. And greetings to Shiloh from Jeffrey of Senior Moment, a rock band that Shiloh was a judge of at an over 40s rock band competition at Ferryman's some years ago. I don't know whether you remember all of those people that are saying hello, but thank you for all your messages. And if you'd like to keep them coming, feel free to do so. 0725671567. Stefan, back to you and your writing journey. How much has writing and publishing your book changed your life?
It certainly has. You know, I've met so many wonderful and interesting people over the past couple of months. Some of them fellow writers. You know, I feel like we're in the trenches together, fighting the same fight, you know, having the same struggles, the doubts, the imposter syndrome that we're battling to keep at bay. Some highly respected reviewers and journalists, bookstore people, you know, some of them have been very kind to me. The Wordsworth Store in Willowbridge, Lisa, she offered to do a launch for me even before she knew me, and she also became one of my proofreaders. So that was a fantastic part of the journey. Book club coordinators, the list just goes on. And then I've met some very interesting, more famous people, you know, of late. As you guys might know, I did the Cape Talk interview with Sarah Jane a couple of months back on Karina Sturek. So that was, and then I met Karina later that day for the first time. So that was fantastic.
Oh, wow.
And I did have coffee with a certain Mr. Stephen Sugar Sigerman this week. The man from the famous Rodriguez movie that won the Oscar. So that was earlier this week. What an absolute honor to have met him and spent some time with him and to get him to get to know him a little bit. So I must say, for me, the most rewarding part of the whole writing process is probably the feedback from the readers. Mm. That's the one thing that really stands out. You know, someone calling or messaging me to say that they've read the book and it has touched them in some way, or even changed the outlook on a certain aspect of life, that is just so rewarding. That's the main thing. That's the reason why I write. You know, we write to be read. And such moments have really stood out the most for me since the books hit the shelves and the online stores.
So you're also going to have your own collection of stories to tell this afternoon at the Written Riff.
Well, maybe not. Yeah, not in terms of musicians, you know, these guys I have so much respect for. And it's, you know, I've heard Shiloh's stories because of the Written Riff and because we chat basically daily. But I always joke and say, you know, I told him earlier, he's not responded to it yet, but I told him it's a bit of a Batman and Robin situation. You know, he's, I haven't met all these people, but, you know, they have inspired me to a degree, and that's how the book came about as well.
Shiloh, your book, A Bicycle, A Chess Set, An African River, which I've got in front of me and I'm just absolutely thrilled about. Thank you for bringing it in. I'm dying to read it. It's had some interesting endorsements, including a potential Netflix deal. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, it was obviously written during the COVID period and it was a very difficult time, extremely difficult. You couldn't do book launches. You know, the book launches had to be numbered to 20 people. And that's not a book launch.
Yeah.
And it was very difficult. People didn't want to go into the malls. I had some very good people involved. Jamie Bartlett, known as Tony Gennaro, and he wrote a review on the book. And we discussed the possibility of doing a film on the book, which was my great love and dream. And we got hold of Warren Batchelor approached me. He did the Reeva Steenkamp movie, and he was right behind it. We had got as far as a Netflix endorsement on the actual book. Honor Foslu was lying in a hospital bed in California, and he was reading the book, and he, 5 to 12, he said, I want to be in this movie. And then great tragedy happened. First of all, Jamie died of post-COVID symptoms, or a heart attack, it's blurry. And then Warren Batchelor passed away, also with, as far as I know, a heart attack. And I just looked up at the sky and thought, well, maybe it wasn't meant to be, which is, you know, it's just everything was colliding and falling down, and COVID was just so unfair to a lot of people. And I kind of withdrew a little bit, and I just kind of started writing the next book. But then something very special happened. Lucia van der Post, the daughter of Sir Lawrence van der Post, did a review on my book. And suddenly everything was awoken. And the story goes that she gave it to King Charles just before his inauguration. Wow. He said to her at the dinner party he was smitten by the book. This was about 3 months before. It got the news, some of the newspapers here in South Africa. And I had to turn down a very large financial offer from a British, on principle from a British newspaper, wanted the full story. But I was asked so politely not to keep it private. And I always believe in honoring privacy, because a lot of the rock stars want that. But the pound to rand, I literally threw myself into the local river down in Amanus Ornrust. Anyhow, and long story of the short is I launched it in America on hard copy and digital. I had to do it because people in England wanted to read the book.
Yeah.
And that was really it. And that's where we are at the moment. And I'm hoping for a movie in the future.
I'm sure that Netflix possibility can be revisited. As you say, COVID was such a cruel time and it was devastating. And perhaps it just wasn't meant to be at that time. And perhaps that something good will come of it now or in the very near future.
I hope so.
Oh, let's turn our attention to today's event. Stefan, perhaps you can tell us where and when it's happening, and is there still time for Cape Talk listeners to get involved and attend? And if not, will there be another one?
Yes, certainly. It's at 2:00 this afternoon at Cycling Friends, which is in the Prime Media building. It's in the same building as where
right
we're
downstairs.
Sitting. Yes, right downstairs in Somerset Road. And it's at 2:00 this afternoon. You don't have to RSVP or anything. There's no fee. We're doing this free of charge. So we're sitting there and you're welcome to come and grab a bite to eat. We've got, I think there's a beer and burger special that Bruce is running for us. And so it's 2:00 this afternoon and we're hoping to do more. We've got, as we were sitting here in the studio beforehand, we were chatting about the next couple of ones that we're planning. So there are definitely more in the pipeline.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got the Fringe Festival in Somerset West in August. That's part of the Fringe Festival. That's going to the Triggerfish, which is fantastic. We're going to be doing one possibly at the Basic Bistro in Stellenbosch. Sculpture Bay will be introducing that. And then the Whale Festival, which is my hometown,
yes,
we're going to do that. And then we can't leave Tableview out on the northern suburbs. So possibly the Bay Cafe and somewhere in the northern suburbs to complete the circle.
No, you have not completed the circle. Oh, you have done. I was going to say, come and visit me in the deep south at Noordhoek, but you have done Musenberg, so
yes,
I suppose you have visited the south.
Pity you missed out on that one.
It is a great pity. I'll read you some of the WhatsApp messages here. Felicity says, morning, Amy. Thank heavens for Saturday nights with Shiloh Noon. Another message saying, great stories, Amy. Very different program. Love the old rock stuff. Shiloh is a great storyteller. Stefan has great knowledge. Fabulous. Best wishes. And that's from Reckless. I'm assuming that's a nickname. Morning. Hi, Shiloh. I love listening to the music and the stories until later or tonight on the Magic Bus. That's from Gail. Diane in Durbanville says, was Stefan on Refilwe's show in the mornings? Were you on? No, he wasn't. That must be a different Stefan. And Don says, fabulous interview with Shiloh and Stefan. You go, guys. I am so privileged to know you. Shiloh, if I think about my only one and only encounter with a rock star or band of any kind, I was very, very young, working as an au pair in Los Angeles, and went to a club where Def Leppard was playing and was friends with a girl who was very brazen and bold and grabbed me by the arm and said, come, let's go see if we can get onto the bus with them after the show. And we did, in fact, just walk onto the bus. And I think they were quite taken with the fact that I was South African. You know, it was a bit of a novelty or something different. And then one of the band members had been to South Africa, or perhaps they'd performed in South Africa.
Yeah,
so
they had,
we had quite a nice conversation with that. And I was amazed at how approachable and down to earth they actually were once we were in the bus. I mean, not everyone can just climb onto the bus with a rock band, but we managed to do it. That is probably the closest I've come to anything like that. But you've had many, many encounters with rock legends. Tell us about some of them that you'll be talking about this afternoon.
Well, I was invited to the Leonard Cohen birthday party.
No way.
Yeah.
I've got his book also next to my bedside table.
Oh, really? Well, that was at the Vivaldi restaurant in Barcelona, and that was a wonderful. I've got some great stories about that.
Wow.
I had a disastrous encounter with Ginger Baker trying to sell him cameras for his stables, and that's a story to go down. And I was stalked by Van Morrison. Stalked by Van Morrison.
I didn't know Van Morrison was a stalker.
Well, he wanted a partner to go to the beach with. And I'd interview him, and he's the most difficult person to interview. I can't begin to tell you how difficult it is to interview that man. I've had great experiences, like with Jimmy Page and various other artists, and I've had disastrous, and I mean disastrous scenarios with Manny Leibovitz, known as Manfred Mann, and, well, it healed itself in time. But as I said, a very embarrassing moment with Gordon Sumner at the One and Only, where he's not in the book. That was, you know, and he was going on about why am I not in the book? And eventually he just said straight to me, you don't like my music. And I said, no, it's not like that. You know, it's just that you were a different era. He said, nonsense. I was in the Police. And, you know, I guess you don't get it. You don't get to groove with every rock star, you know. And these are the stories that are going to go down, carrying Kurt Cobain over my shoulders in Amsterdam because he didn't pay the bouncer for the call girl. I've got fantastic stories. The Axe ad, you know, the song by the Seeds and Sky Saxon are not being paid. The royalties. Oh, man, the stories are... I've never shared half of these.
Mm.
And, you know, I've got a collage of photographs that back up a lot of what I say. But at the end of the day, it's stories, and and they are as real as sitting here in the studio. And but they do say never let the truth get in the way of a good story. I'll leave that to the listener.
You're just throwing in that disclaimer at the last minute, Shiloh. If you listeners are intrigued by what you're hearing right now, we'd encourage you to get along to Cycling Friends in Greenpoint at 2 o'clock this afternoon. There's no cost. It's sure to be a fantastic afternoon of storytelling and memories. And if you're unable to go to today's, perhaps you can attend one of the talks in the future, the Written Riff, one of the Written Riff events in the future. We've got a couple of late listeners tuning in now that are asking for the names of the books that we're talking about. Both Pauline and Dudley would like to know the names of the books that you guys are talking about. So I'll give you one last opportunity to mention the names of your books. Stefan, if you'd like to go first.
Minus The Last Jukebox Heroes.
By Stefan Skitter, and it's available where, Stefan?
We'll have some of them for sale at the talk.
Okay.
It's also in Wordsworth. It's at the Book Lounge, Clark's Bookstore, Exclusive Books, Cavendish, and Aurora Books is another one. Up the West Coast, if you're there, the Siesta Restaurant, yep. And then in Paternoster, there's also, you can get a copy there as well.
Fantastic.
That's at Studio C Love.
Fantastic. And Shiloh, yours?
Well, I've kind of withdrawn from the bookshop, so all my books are on the American posts of Barnes & Noble and Smashwords and Amazon and so forth. But the rock history book you can only get from me, so you'd have to contact me at shilohnoon@gmail.com. shilohnoon@gmail.com. Just remember, Shiloh's got an H at the end and Noon has got an E at the end. And the novels you can still get from me. You might still find one or two of the books in possibly Clark's. Might have one or two. And my very previous publisher, Naledi, you might still find one or two of the chess books. Generally speaking, I've kind of thrown all my eggs into America because margins aren't here, you know.
Mm. And that book is A Bicycle, A Chess Set, An African River.
Correct.
We unfortunately have to leave it there. I wish that we had longer to chat, and so do the listeners, but I would encourage people to come and listen to you both tell your stories this afternoon at the Written Riff at Cycling Friends in Greenpoint, and I wish you all the best with this afternoon's event and all the future events. Thank you both for coming into studio.
Thank you so much.
Stefan Skitter and Cape Talk's very own Shiloh Noon. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.